As you know and are excited about, we discuss Bible prophecy every week. We spare a few minutes to show how the Bible is predicting many of the things that are happening in the world today. Now, I've been talking more about the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered between 1947 and 1956 in caves near Qumran by the Dead Sea. Actually, they're still discovering some today. They don't know really how many are still there. They include over 900 ancient Jewish texts dating from about 250 BC to 70 AD. Among them are portions and fragments from every book of the Old Testament, with the exception of Esther, the writings of a Jewish group known as the Essenes, and other miscellaneous manuscripts. The scrolls confirm the accuracy of the Hebrew scriptures and provide valuable insight into Jewish beliefs during what they call the Second Temple period. Ken Johnson is a Dead Sea Scroll scholar, came across the following in his book, Ancient Prophecies from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Ken says, "It is interesting that the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls seems to have been prophesied by Isaiah, and the very first Dead Sea Scroll to come to Israeli hands was the Great Scroll of Isaiah. A professor purchased that first scroll on the very day that Israel became a state again in 1948. Also amazing is that the temple scroll, which is a scroll that talks about how to conduct worship in the temple, that came into Israeli hands during the Six-Day War. That was the war which resulted in Israel taking control of the Temple Mount. And so that ancient manuscript came to them just as they were taking over the mount. And Ken Johnson concludes by saying, these facts cannot be a coincidence. Now, the passage in Isaiah is 29 verses 1 through 7. We don't have time to look at it in depth, but here are a few points from it. Isaiah 29 begins with God pronouncing judgment on Jerusalem, siding with her enemies to bring her low. That's a prophecy that was fulfilled in 70 AD to 135 AD with the destruction of the temple and the Jewish dispersion. During this time, the Essenes hid the Dead Sea Scrolls in caves. They took everything they could find in libraries and whatnot because they knew the Romans were coming to destroy everything, and they preserved them in those caves. Isaiah says, the dead speak from the dust. Now, there's only one way ancient people can speak from the dust, and that is we find their records in the dust of the ground, and their writings speak to us. Isaiah then goes on to describe a future war where God defends Israel against enemies. This aligns with her rebirth in 1948 and the recovery of ancient scrolls, restoring long-lost knowledge. And so prophecy sort of works this way sometimes. You might read that through in Isaiah and not really pick up on these things. But then when they find these scrolls, God opens your eyes and says, I mentioned that here in Isaiah chapter 29. I said that these people would speak out of the dust of the ground. They would, these ancestors who are deceased, they would yet have a voice in the future. Both Daniel and the Apostle John wrote portions that the Lord told them to keep hidden until the last days. And so they were writing scripture, and part of it, God said, no, it's not for right now. Let's keep that hidden. The angel specifically said to Daniel, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. How can writings from Daniel and John be closed up and sealed, but then revealed in the last days? Well, they would have to be discovered, right? They'd have to be discovered like the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we don't know all that's in there right now, and we don't know where, as I said, there might be some additional ones. But here's the bottom line. The Bible predicts ancient writings will again speak from the dust, and we are discovering ancient writings that speak to us from the dust. And so once again, the Bible is not just accurate, but it's incredibly accurate to a statistical norm that no one else can hit. And so I'd like to share from Revelation 3:10. There's a lot of talk about, and we'll get into it in our text this morning, but a lot of talk about end times events. Revelation 3:10 is foundational to what we believe about the last days. Jesus wrote there, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And so the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, is not just a time of intense persecution in Rome or in Judea or anything like that. It's a world event, and it comes all at once. It is called the hour of trial. We would say it is the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, or called the time of Jacob's trouble, predicted in the Bible. Then he mentions those who dwell on the earth. That is never the way God would describe believers during any time, especially in the Great Tribulation. And so clearly, this is another group of people. They are earth dwellers, is how it actually translates. They're not heavenly minded. They're unbelievers. And so Christians are not included in that. And he doesn't see us as part of that group. And finally, each of the letters of the seven churches is for all the churches, because they all end the same way. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to what? The churches, not to just this church. And so though the letters are unique to what was happening in particular fellowships, real, genuine fellowships, God's word to each one is for all of them. Are you ready for the rapture? Because that's what's on the agenda, and it could happen anytime. It's an imminent event. Sometimes people say, well, no, there's three or four things that have to happen first. No, there's not. There's nothing that has to happen. And we're talking about the day that the Lord comes back in the clouds. He raises the dead in Christ, gives them their glorified bodies, takes them to heaven, and at the same time, He changes those of us who remain and are alive, gives us our glorified bodies. We ascend with them, and so we are ever with the Lord. Sometime after that, that may not be the single trigger, but sometime after that, we'll have the seven-year great tribulation, and we are not part of it. And so I ask, are you ready for the rapture? If not, get ready and stay ready and keep looking up, because ready or not, Jesus is coming.